And we've got Rosemary Ellen Guiley for you this hour. We're going to take phone calls on miracles and stories next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Rosemary Ellen Guiley with us. We'll get to your calls. Rosemary, if people obtain relics that were once held by spiritual people, will they hold powers too?
They can certainly connect people to very strong power, including healing power and miraculous power. Objects can hold energy. And saint relics, for example, if saints have been healers in their lifetime, it's believed by many people that their clothing, objects that they owned, become like intermediary power tools that connect people to the power of the saint to intercede and heal. And the same principle applies in magic, too. Magical tools have an energy that's been imbued in them by the people who make them and use them for specific purposes. It's the principle behind psychometry that we can hold an object and know something about the people who owned it or used it in the past. So objects do hold human intention and energy. And one of the ways that, that people can put that to use in their own personal life is to have like an intention box or this is the principle behind Lucky Charms, to hold and infuse with their own energy while they are performing their spiritual practice of miracle mind consciousness. It's a very useful tool.
Yeah, it sure is. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Effie in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Effie.
Hi, George.
Hi.
I was at a healing service last night, and it was the most powerful healing service I've ever been to. I've been going to them for many years. I myself have been seeking a healing from being in a wheelchair from paralysis. But it wasn't my night, but there were people there who were being, I don't know if you've heard this term or not, they were being slain in the spirit. And they were getting up, and they were totally and completely restored to
wow.
to health. It was powerful. The pastor, this was being conducted at a church locally here. The pastor's wife has been ill and very weak, and some type of something with her immune system.
Mm-hmm.
But she got hit by the power of God. She was literally rolling on the floor uncontrollably. It was so powerful. There was this huge guy, really, really heavy set man, and he was standing over in the other corner. He got knocked down. I thought he got hurt. He was so huge when he fell. He fell into a pile of folding chairs, and it took like 3-4 guys to pick him up.
Jeez.
There were people, I'm telling you, all over the place. And I'm just sitting there in my wheelchair waiting and waiting and waiting, but it just wasn't meant for me yet. But the man that was conducting this, he has a healing ministry. He lives in Florida, but he's originally from the area here. He himself was healed when he was 9 years old from terminal cancer. He only had days to live, and he was healed. And then he didn't even want to get into this. There were, I'll bet you close to 400 people there from all over the place. There was a woman there that flew in from New York, from Long Island, New York, because she heard about this, and she wanted to be healed from lupus, and she was totally and completely healed. I mean, I've been to so many of these. I have been around the whole country going to these because I really want to, you know, get out of this wheelchair.
Yeah, sure. Don't blame you.
And it just wasn't my time, but I'm watching all the, this man, this is the most incredible one. This man had cancer. His whole pelvic region was so weak, he could barely walk. He had a bad knee. He was going in for surgery today for a knee surgery, knee replacement. They had to put a chair down at the front of the church for him to sit until the minister that was doing this had, you know, got to him.
Mm-hmm.
He finally came over, prayed for him. He went down, he was slain, laid on the floor for like maybe 2 minutes. The pastor himself pulled him up to his feet. The guy was running up the steps of the altar, and he said he hadn't gone up steps in years.
Jeez,
he was
really?
On morphine. He was on morphine. That was how bad his pain was. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like
that. And let me ask you, Effie, was, because I have to, I mean, was the minister Was he asking for money to do this or donations?
He took a collection, and it was whatever you wanted to give.
So you weren't obligated then?
Oh, no. $5 is all I put in the tray. It was whatever you had, or if you didn't have anything, then so be it.
Yeah, they didn't chase you out. Okay.
No. It wasn't a money thing at all.
That's important.
But anyway, I had to share this because it's ironic you would have this program on, and I just went to one of these fabulous. I mean, this is God moving. I mean, yes, I agree with Rosemary. There's so many avenues of healing, so many ways people can be healed, you know. But when you enter into a sanctuary where you're inviting the power of God Almighty and the Holy Spirit shows up, look out. Anything can happen.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Effie. Appreciate that. So I guess there were miracles there, Rosemary.
Certainly so. You know, a lot of these kinds of healing services are held all the time, George. And here we have an excellent example of also the underlying emotion involved. And as I was saying earlier, you know, intense emotion is such a key component to tapping into this power. So during a healing service of this sort, the minister, the pastor, is very good at raising that energy and helping people connect to divine power. And these are the sorts of things that regularly happen in these services.
And I guess you would say they're miracles. You'd have to say miracles.
It definitely, because people have had dramatic, unexplained changes in their medical conditions. And as Effie was saying, sometimes, you know, it doesn't work for everybody who comes. And these are like factors we don't really understand. If we could marshal this power at will regularly, we could be more prescriptive and precise about it. We're still learning it, but it does happen enough to continue to give people encouragement and inspiration and the will and focus to keep on going and keep seeking it.
Let's go to Stephen in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Stephen, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rosemary. Wonderful program. Really enjoy what you're saying. I've got a question. You know, the supreme mind, I really truly believe that is the path that mankind was meant to pursue, although it seems to be circumvented somewhat by what I truly believe are the rich or the elite and the powerful who, like I said, may have circumvented the mass from attaining this and are now trying to control it for their own benefit. But my question is, where does AI, that this pursuit of AI recently, where they're just manically going leaps and bounds into this artificial intelligence development, where they truly believe they can put the mind into a computer, and how do you think this all relates to the supermind?
Okay, and believe it or not, tomorrow we're doing a show on AI, but go ahead, Rosemary.
Artificial intelligence, to me, from my perspective, is a way to control and manipulate, and may have the downside of it may be to subvert human will and the ability for independent volition, thinking, direction, self-direction. If we all become like the Borg, who's going to control that? Are we going to be in such a manipulated group mind that we won't be able to break out of that? We can only do what the group is directed to do. This is one of the potential downsides of a united thinking to make major change. It can work wonderfully to make good things happen, but there's a dark underbelly to it that the powers that be are always going to seek to subvert for their own purposes. So it's a big question mark in terms of how much it's going to benefit us or change us for the worse.
Let's go out to California now. Cheryl's with us, west of the Rockies. Cheryl, hi.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh. I am not really happy with Rosemary's, you know, her agenda because it sounds extremely negative to me.
Where? Now, give me an example. She seemed positive to me.
I'm sorry?
She seemed positive to me, so give me an example.
Well, you know, she's saying that people are very negative and that's why things don't happen.
Well, they are.
Well, what is happening that is positive when a person is in a bad space?
You explain a little bit more. What do you mean?
When a person is going through a lot of issues in their life and they're praying and something doesn't work out, where is, you know, where is the redemption that Rosemary is saying?
Well, I would not categorize that person necessarily as being negative. That person's trying to tell
you. I think, what person?
This person that you just said was in a bad place. To me, that doesn't sound like a negative person. A negative person that Rosemary's talking about is someone who constantly is down on everything, not trying to pull themselves
up. You're saying there are two kind of negative persons.
Well, I wouldn't even call what you just described as negative. I think that's just a person who's trying to desperately get out of a rut. I don't call that negative. Rosemary, I'll let you jump in on this.
Well, what I was talking about earlier was fear-based thinking, and that is an impediment to manifesting miracle-making power. And I did make the point that there are various reasons why people fall into that. And yes, there are people who have consciously or subconsciously self-defeating habits, attitudes, negative thinking that kicks in, I can't, it'll never happen, it's not going to work out for me. These are thinking and behavior patterns that operate in the background of many people's
right.
lives.
They
that doesn't make them bad people.
No, and they pull black clouds over their heads. I've seen that happen before.
So what I'm saying is that in order to manifest a miracle-making power for the better, people do have to be able to know exactly what's going on inside of them and to marshal their intentions, their thoughts, their emotions in different directions. So we retrain ourselves to think, feel, and act differently on a different level where we are more in line with divine energy that can help us and can lift us out of that. So I don't have a negative agenda. I'm very much in favor of people learning how to make positive change in the world, both individually within their own lives and collectively for the collective good.
And I've got to say that I have found you to be one of the most personal, upbeat people I've ever talked to. You don't have a negative agenda at all.
Well, thank you, George. I never really have. My whole work, my entire career, which is 30 years now, has been oriented toward helping people and educating people. I work on both sides of the fence. I deal with, you know, metaphysical things, spiritual things, and I also deal on the other side where people are coming into contact with negative forces because we do need to be educated about those. The ultimate goal is if you're educated, you're forewarned, and you have more opportunity to improve your life and make things better for you, those around you, and for the greater good of all humanity and everything that is in our reality on this planet.
We have Matt, truck driving in Virginia, and he's now on Coast to Coast. Hey, Matt, go ahead.
Hi, George. A pleasure to talk with you.
Sure, thanks. Guess. Thank you.
I want to tell you a real quick story. Years ago, back in about 1989, I knew this guy from church. His name was George. We called him Papa George. He was an older Greek. And one day I slipped and I fell on this grassy hillside. It was kind of wet, you know. I tore up my left arm. I couldn't even move it, couldn't even lift it, you know. Well, that night I went to church, and after church I come out and I see George, and he said, "Hey, brother, how are you?" I told him what was going on, and, you know, he used to go to hospitals and pray for people, and they would just get healed. George had a strong faith, you know. And sometimes people would tell him, "Yeah, go ahead." And they didn't believe that, you know, they would get healed. And when they did, they were terrified, you know. Other times people, you know, would praise God for their healing, you know. Well, he laid hands on me and began to weep and call out to God to, you you know, look upon me, his brother, and I was in pain. And in my mind, I thought, you know, the word of God is truth. Or I said, God is truth, the word of God is truth, and the power of the Holy Spirit is truth. Therefore, if I don't, oh, and George has this childlike faith that God loves. Therefore, if I don't receive my healing, it's my own lack of faith. And suddenly I felt this, like a band was stretched from my shoulder to my wrist. Shoom, I could almost hear it. And they got all warm and tingly. And I just raised my hand. I said, thank you, Jesus. And moved my arm all around, and I was healed. Just like that, plain and simple.
It worked.
And another time, years later, I hurt my back. I mean, I couldn't hardly even stand up. I had to pull myself up, you know. And I was going through kind of a depression right then, and I went to church on Christmas Eve. I didn't want to really talk with anybody. I didn't want to stand up or clap my hands or anything. But it was a church program with all the kids singing and all that. Oh, I just felt this joy come across me that these children were up there praising God, singing songs. I stood up to raise my hand, thank God for all the children. And suddenly I heard this voice whisper, Merry Christmas, Matt. And I felt this tightening in my back, and I turned to the left and then turned to the right, and it was like snap, pop, snap. My back was healed. I walked out of there straight as to be.
Amazing.
You know?
Amazing. Yeah. I love those stories. You know, a lot of people who've called in, Rosemary, have used the word God, but you can still have miracles without that, can't you?
Well, it's. I think we have to have some sort of fundamental belief that there is a higher force or higher power, and most of us are going to call it God. But for some people, it's going to not have the personification and perhaps what they feel are all the religious trappings with the term God, but yet a creator or divine force that still represents the same thing. And that is a connection that no matter what label we're going to put on it, it's still there in this miracle-making manifestation power. And that's the connection that we fundamentally do have to have. Now, in some cases, I think being open to the potential to be healed will open the door to this power some people in order to receive something. And I also think that we need examples. The rest of us need inspirational examples, and some individuals who experience miraculous healing are those examples to inspire the rest of us that these sorts of things can happen.
Okay, Rosemary, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment. And again, Rosemary's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, visionaryliving.com. Well, jump aboard the Beyond Belief bandwagon. Matter of fact, you can go back and look at the past shows for free for 10 days. It was a great one with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Simply go to this website and sign up, beyondbelief.com. That's it, www.beyondbelief.com. And we're back with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, back with your phone calls here for our final segment. What are you working on these days, Rosemary?
Angels and a new book on dreams and a book on haunted objects with the great John Zaffis.
And he's got a museum with haunted objects, doesn't he?
Hundreds of things in it and some amazing stories behind these objects. And that book will also talk about the consciousness that can become embedded in things.
All right, let's go to Brantford, Connecticut. Deborah's with us. Hi, Deborah. Go ahead.
Hi, Rosemary.
Hi there.
Hey, I'm driving to work right now, but I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah, so far so good.
Okay, I had a miracle experience in 1995 where 50 angels manifested in my room and brought me out of a coma. And it was a very profound experience. I basically blacked out. I fell on my bed, and I kind of fell on an angle. And I was half on and off the bed. That was my last conscious memory. When I woke up, I was in the middle of the bed. There were two people on either side of me that felt just like human beings holding me and stroking my hair and front of me, I saw about 50 angels, just all emanating love and light into the room. And I felt completely peaceful and safe and full of love. And they were just telepathically giving me a message that I was on the right path and I was going to be okay. And then I could feel the weight of the four bodies on the bed that were holding me just slowly float up off the bed. And you could like literally feel the, you know, like the weight from the mattress being pressed down, the mattress coming up. And so anyway, I had the flu really bad right before that happened. And about 4 years later, I met a man who, in one of his classes that I took, showed me how to feel the same feeling of love, like how we as human beings can generate that. And so I knew I had found my teacher. I've been studying with him now for 15 years. And you can still hear me, right?
Yep. We're listening
okay.
to you.
Okay. Yeah, so basically what we do is, instead of getting seduced by all the thoughts in our minds or how we're observing other things, you know, outside of us, we put our mind on our own human heart and just, you know, our own capacity to choose to feel and receive love in our heart and invite other people into our heart, you know, to know that we have that spiritual connection. We don't have to be arrogant and, you know, separate from others, that we can choose that feeling of love anytime in our own human heart. And so I was really, you know, amazed just the first class where I thought, you know, my teacher kind of had to yell at me to get me to pay attention. But, it's so easy to go into a daydream or a trance, so to speak. But then we would just say really simple things out loud. And part of it is just experiencing my moment. You know, I don't have to think about the future or the past. And I'm choosing love first. My heart is open. And I'm feeling and receiving my love. I'm sharing my love with others. I'm receiving their love.
Well, you sound like you've got it together. And I think that's so important. How many people need angels, Rosemary, in order to accomplish these things? Or can you do it on your own?
You can certainly do it on your own, but many people are aided by angels, and often unexpectedly. These are helping beings who are available to people, and sometimes we call them in unconsciously, like when we have a crisis. But this idea of learning how to generate love and projecting this emotion from the heart, this is so important to learning how to generate miracle manifestation power. A practice like this changes your energy field. It changes the way you think, changes the way you feel, the way you relate to other people, and it evolves your spiritual consciousness and your sense of place in the greater scheme of things. And that change alone is going to put you in a better position to be both the manifester and the recipient of miracles.
And I feel for you. Ever talk to somebody on a cell phone, Rosemary, only to find out that everything you said was never heard because you lost connection and didn't even know it?
Oh, yes.
That happens.
That does happen.
That happens. First-time caller Jim is in Bismarck, North Carolina. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show.
Yes, George, Rosemary, good evening. First-time caller here. I could talk about this subject all night long, but my first story, I want to say the most recent, I've had really good luck in my life, and the most recent was when I graduated college. I put in my little ticket for a bobblehead doll and a pen, and I sat there and I was looking at that ticket, and I just started praying that I would win this last item, and sure as heck, they pulled my number.
They pulled your number?
Yes, they pulled my number just by, I was just sitting there, like, you know, I would call it praying. Some people could call it meditating. Whatever you want to use for that. It was very interesting. Now, the other story that I have is I'm a five-year Iraqi veteran, and when I went over to Iraq the first time, we were flying over the country from California to Maine, and about halfway through the flight, our plane was actually hit by lightning.
Oh, boy.
And when we landed, I told my mom about it. My mom called me, or I called my mom later about it. I told her about it, and then I called her later when I was actually in country in Iraq. And she's like, Jim, you know that you know what happened? I said, what was that, Mom? And she's like, you were blessed. That was God's way of saying all your troops are blessed. And we were actually one of the first units to come out of Iraq without a casualty from combat in the war. And then the last story that I have for you is you guys were talking, kind of touching on angels a little bit. Back in 2001, when my dad passed away, he passed away actually 4 days after the September 11th incident, unfortunately. And my mom told me this story. She's like, my dad was in hospice at home, and right before he passed away, he looked over. We had an earth berm home. He looked over at the door, and he looked at my mom and said, "What are all those firemen and policemen out there doing?" And my mom looked out there, and she's like, "What policemen? What firemen?" And he passed away.
Wow.
And to this day, we honestly think that they were angels that came down to take him up to heaven.
Take him away. Yeah, that happens, Rosemary. Thanks for the story. Appreciate that. That does happen, doesn't it?
It does. And these sorts of things have even been studied in parapsychology. They're called takeaway apparitions, and that people who get closer and closer to death and have some lucidity start talking about seeing figures come into their room. And quite often it's family members who've died. Sometimes it's angel figures. And in this case, it could be angels in the guise of firemen and policemen, but they come to help escort the soul to the other side. And they actually start showing up in advance of the actual transition.
It is remarkable how that all happens. With miracles, again, as people try to manifest them, how do we know that the miracle isn't just something that normally was going to happen anyway? Do we know that?
Well, actually, that's kind of an ideal state, to change your consciousness so deeply, so profoundly, that you are in an entirely different stream of these divine forces in motion, so that miracles become more a part of ordinary living. It's a more exalted, higher level of living. They're not extraordinary intervening events anymore. They're just part of the way reality is. And that's the goal we should all have.
We sure should. Let's go to Laura in Cincinnati. Laura, take it away. Go ahead.
Hi. I was calling actually to find out if you could help me with a couple dreams that I had. I had two dreams of being at the crucifixion.
Like a witness to it?
Yeah. Like, I was like, the first dream, I was like right in front. And then the second dream, I was like off to the side. And I just remember being, you know, horrified.
What kind of a dream would that be, Rosemary?
We don't have the full context here in terms of what's going on in Laura's life. And even with repeating dreams, it's important first to look for natural explanations, how they might be symbolic of things happening in the dreamer's life. Recurring dreams especially address ongoing issues that need to be resolved. So one way of looking at that would be a witness to a death and rebirth. And it could be something that is happening on some level in the dreamer's life. There is the possibility that this sort of dream could be a past life recollection. Past life dreams do happen. But the first way I would look at it in terms of what does being witness to a crucifixion mean symbolically to what's going on in my life? Who is it that is being crucified, and why am I watching? And that could be a key to unraveling the dreams.
What if she was a reincarnated, you know, from Jesus's family, who probably got a front row view of this tragedy?
Well, you know, I think that there are people who have had these dreams. Witness to Jesus' crucifixion does come up in the past life regression literature.
Huh.
And this is an intensely pivotal event in human history. And I think that there are people who witnessed it then, who are living today, who might be able to have a breakthrough of recollection, and it would occur in a dream.
Let's go to Alan in Desert Hot Springs, California. Wildcard line. Alan, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I am going through like health problems right now. I'm 61. I've got lost my vision, and I'm also in dialysis. And so, you know, I heard Anita Morjani's story, which made me think, and I'm wondering if I have like a mental block or something, you know, like something where, you know, I'm holding this stuff in my mind. Is there a way to, despite this, you know, reach a level of somehow where, you know, you can where you can make things or you know, attain something that you want to achieve? Going back, taking my health back the other direction.
Well, there are many ways that people connect with divine power, and
okay.
Some of them are unique to the individual. Praying for healing for the highest good is one of them. Visualizing the healing power of the divine flooding into the cells. Being able to manage emotional and thought levels and constantly direct it toward the positive. And as I mentioned earlier, there are so many reasons why we human beings go through a lot of pain and suffering. And quite often we pray for healing, and it doesn't come the way we want it, but some other kind of healing occurs. There could be all kinds of past life or karmic issues at work here, too. So if it were me, I would ask for a revelation for the healing that I need. And quite often, that can open the door for people to move then into yet another level of healing.
You know, as far as healing on something like that, I want to ask Alan real quickly. Alan, how did you lose your sight?
Medically described, it was a combination of high blood pressure and diabetes.
You would think that could come back once you got those two under control, huh?
Well, I don't know. It just seems like the body, you know, takes on a takes directions that are. You know, that are not usual, I guess. But as Ms. Rosemary explained, you know, it could be a healing on it, you know, in a different way, and there may be purpose of some kind for this. I don't know.
Sure. All right. Well, good luck to you. And you never know, Rosemary.
Sometimes the spiritual healing is more powerful and more profound than even physical healing.
Let's take one or two more quick calls. We've got Leonard in Erie, Pennsylvania, first-time caller. Leonard, thank you. Go ahead.
Unconditional love.
That helps.
I was hit by a car at 15 by a drunk driver that knocked me in the air for a block. It should have killed me. I'm still here. I saw a vision in 1998 of a woman I'm about to marry in August.
Good luck for you. Congrats.
I am legally blind. I went back, got my high school diploma in 3 months, and am a licensed massage therapist in Pennsylvania. So don't tell me. If you don't have the power of positive thinking it cannot get you through. And the reason I really called, because a young lady had called about an hour ago and brought Miss Rosemary's credential or book into question. Mm-hmm. It's all about being positive and thinking. If I never receive my healing, God's done enough.
That's what I call positive. Good for you. Congrats on your wedding, by the way. I love it how people can pull themselves up.
And Leonard's right. Unconditional love. Unconditional love is this, it's like the glue that holds everything together. It is such a powerful force, and a force that can overcome so many things on so many levels. And like I was saying a little bit ago, maybe not necessarily in the way we might desire, but it definitely brings miracles into life.
Well, that it does. Let's go next to Tommy in Jackson, Mississippi. Hi, Tommy. Let's get you in here real fast.
Hey, Rosemary and George. Great talking to you guys.
Hi, Tommy. Thank you.
I was, I'm just, of course, completely fascinated, and I was thinking that when it comes to miracles, you know, there's various things that we can go through. Like, we can look at the power of God, or the power of suggestion, the power of intent, meditation, even power of placebo. You know, and it seems like all of these could be components or even variables of faith. And my question or observation or whichever is that, you know, all of these combined, number one, should be God's tools to enable humans to experience miracles, and could be, you know, just the various variables or components of faith. And the other one is that any or all of these could be the mind's, the phenomena of how the mind can heal the body.
See, we're constantly being tested. I think you're absolutely right. Rosemary, the clock has got us, but keep in touch. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, visionaryliving.com. Next up, we go live to the United Kingdom. Stick around for that.